need to walk through our tools, so I brought some tools. Now, this is so cool. I got this. Actually, I bought this for Marlene. Where's my Marlene? I love you, Marlene. I love you so much. And I have to be honest, Marlene. I bought it for myself first. And then I was putting together a little thank you gift bag for Marlene, and I'm going, you know, Marlene would love this. And so I gave it to her, and then after I gave it to her, I wished I'd have kept it, but then I went and bought me one. But I love it. You can get them at TJ Maxx, of course. And it's a little hammer, and then inside it has all your little screws and your screw. Isn't this so cool? And I realized that some of the tools of our life are sometimes we need to just hammer some things shut. You need to put the nail on it. You need to be done with it. Close it up. But there are things in your life that you actually need to open up, and they need to be dealt with. The problem is that some of us are trying to put a Band-Aid over a wound that needs to be healed. And I picked this little superhero. I put these on my little grandsons when they come. Why is it that we put these on? We want them to think they're superheroes. So let's put this on your boo-boo, and it won't hurt anymore. But the truth is, it still hurts. And we try to mask things in our life with bandages of superheroes or smiley faces, but the wound is still there. And ladies, the truth is, it needs to heal. And you may have a scar after it heals, but it's healed. There may be a scar in your life that you look at and you know that happened to you, but in Jesus' name, you've healed. Does that make sense? So I want to walk you through a few things that I really believe are some tools that are going to help you tell your story. You have your notes with you? So you have to use the right tools to create your story. I'm going to give you a couple verses that I really think are really powerful that'll help you. Psalm 66:16, listen, it says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, listen, and I will tell what he has done for my soul." This is pulling people in and saying, come here, I want to tell you what he's done for me. This is you telling your story, Jessica, and pulling people in and say, let me tell you what you do in your testimony. Let me tell you. Now, I just need to stop right here, and I apologize. I know we're going to go over, and but I feel I need to talk tonight, okay? So many people have been telling me the last few weeks that they are really struggling with just the enemy. The enemy is coming after them, demonic warfare, marriages. I'll tell you, there's three areas the enemy will come. He'll come after your marriage, your friends, and your health. And those are the three areas he'll come after. And I mean, I've been talking to so many of you this week, and you're like, Pastor Tammy, I don't even know what's going on. It's like, I've never had marital problems. All of a sudden now I'm pressing in my story, and I'm pressing into telling people about Jesus, and it seems like all hell has broke loose. Yes, it has, because the enemy doesn't like what you're doing. But listen, greater, 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 greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The enemy never has enough power to hold you down, ever. That's why Jesus went to the cross. What happens is we cower back when the enemy comes because we're afraid of him. That God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, love, power, and a sound mind. You have to speak back. What did Jesus do when Satan came to him in Matthew 4 and Luke 4? He spoke to the enemy. He spoke to Satan. So when Satan comes and he tells any of you, don't do this, you can't do this, you're sick, whatever this is, you speak back. You tell him in Jesus' name be gone. You put on praise music. You read through the Psalms. You start praying. You do whatever you need to do. You praise. You bathe in Jesus. And the enemy can't stay there. And that is how you get rid of the enemy. Will flee. He will flee. So you have, this is what we call warfare. I'm sorry, but on this side of glory, there's warfare. But you've won the battle. He already said you won the battle. You're just not using the right tools. You're not using the right resources. You're walking around, oh me, instead of oh my. You're walking around feeling sorry for yourself instead of praying and speaking it in, saying it is. I can't wait to tell you everything God's doing with me right now. I have stepped out and I've stepped telling you what God's doing right now in my life is crazy good stuff, because I'm not letting the enemy take. He's had me long enough. I've given him too many of my thoughts. You know, you have about 50,000 thoughts a day. I'm tired of him being in my thoughts. Right? So get them out of your thoughts. I'm telling you right now, that's a word for somebody that has felt under demonic warfare and pressure. Pray, sing. He will flee at the name of Jesus. Amen? So don't let him have any territory, any space in your marriage, in your home, or in your life. That was just an extra. All right, now let's get back to the tools. I just had to say it. I'm sick of the enemy. I'm sick of what my, I play these little things like, no, no. You can't have space in my head or in my world, in Jesus' name. All right, so let's go on. Use the right tools. I'm going to share this verse, 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God, woman of God, may be competent, equipped for every good work. That's why you got to be equipped. You guys have to be equipped. I'm going to give you some equipment. I'm going to help you know how to tell your story. You need the right tools to tell your story. Isaiah 55:11, I love this. This is for somebody in the house tonight. So shall my word go out from my mouth. Here's what he says. It shall not return to me empty. God says, it's not going to return. I'm telling you, if you believe it, it's not going to return. Claim it, hold it, believe it, grab it for you. But it will accomplish that which I purpose. God says, my word's going out and it will accomplish. Either you'll receive it or you won't. It is here for you. You can have it. You can do it or you cannot believe it. It's your choice. He goes on. He says, it will accomplish what I purposed and it shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. God says, it's coming. I'm bringing it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:21, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be forever and ever. So guys, you have to realize, and I wrote this right here. I love, Maya Angelou says, nothing will work unless you do. I say all the time, God will do his part, but you got to do your part. You will never go to the next level unless you take a step up. You take a step out. We want to sit around in this, you know, spiritual euphoria and let God do everything. He created us to work. He created us to think. He created us to create. He created us to believe. He created us for visions. He created us to do, right? And you sit here licking your wounds, and that's exactly what the man did, that the paralytic did at the pool of Bethesda. He sat there feeling sorry for himself. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Don't know if you know the story, but he's sitting there by the pool, and every year the pool would stir, the Holy Spirit would come down, and those who stepped in the pool were healed. That's what the Bible says. And here is this man laying by the pool. Well, why wasn't he healed? He'd been there long enough. Because I believe he didn't want to get up and get into the pool. Jesus came by and he said, do you want to be made whole? Well, so stupid question, Jesus. No, I'm enjoying this. Well, it kind of looks like it because I've given you the resource for healing and you haven't taken it. Now that's for somebody in the house. I've given you the resource because see, here's what I think. I think he liked laying there. I think he liked everybody bringing him his food and feeling sorry. I think he liked being a beggar. I think he liked everybody going the poor man at the pool of Bethesda. He liked his misery. He was, because listen, if God healed him, then he'd have to get up and go to work. If God healed him, he'd have to be responsible. If he healed him, see, some of you like your misery because you like everybody feeling sorry for you. And here's how I know that, because when I ask you how you're doing, it's the same stinking story every time. Just saying, some of you. Now, nobody in this room. It's those on live stream, of course. Not really, guys. Don't tune us out. We love you. But do you know what I'm saying? If you're telling the same story over and over, I have to ask you, do you want to be made whole? Because Jesus says, I'm stirring the waters, and I got some healing going out of me. Amen? All right. First, and this is really good. First, you must know why you want to tell your story before you can know what your story will say. This is deep. Before you can write your story. So tonight, we're going to talk about tools. In 2 weeks, I'm going to help you write your story. I'm literally going to help you learn how to write your story. And then we're going to talk, how do I speak my story? So tonight, I'm going to give you some tools to begin thinking over the next 2 weeks before we write our story. What is your why? Ask yourself why I want to tell my story before what my story is. I'd ask Micah, why do you want to tell this story? Because we can all sit up here and go, oh, poor little Micah, what a poor little life she had. That's her what. Hey, I don't want your what. I want to know, why are you trying to tell me this story? And here's why I want to know the why. The why will compel the what. And here's what I mean by that. Here's the why. What is your motive behind telling your story? Why do you want to tell your story? Make sure it's with a pure motive and not a reason to bring shame, blame, pain, or revenge. If you think you're telling your story so that you can make the father that abused you, the mother that neglected you, you know, the unfair victim life you had, then your why is wrong. Are you with me? This is some serious coaching stuff now. I was nice the first two sessions. Now I'm getting up in your business. All right? Some of you want it to be about your what, not your why. Your story will never be received if it's just about the what. There has to be a why I'm telling you the story, all right? Also, purpose. What do you want your readers or listeners to take away from your story? When you're done with your story, what do you want the takeaway to be? hope, forgiveness, redemption, encouragement, salvation. There has to be a reason you're telling your story more than just data, more than just facts. Does that make sense? I want you to have a purpose in your story, a message in your story, meaning to your story. And the third thing, action. What conclusion do you want your readers to take away or your listeners? So when they walk away, the conclusion is, wow, maybe God can help me. Wow, if he can do that for you, maybe he can do it for me. You know, Jessica, we were just in Temecula last week with the girls, and one of the girls there said the first time she watched our first message, she said, I don't know who that girl was, that whole meth story, but it really made me mad. And I almost got up and walked out because that's my story. But God didn't come and heal me like that. I'm still struggling. And so her story is different than your story. So your why would be, God's going to come. He just may not come at the same time and in the same way. So you can now speak to her. And I told her I wanted to come. I wanted to meet you because you can minister to her and say, let me walk with you through this. Let me help you through this. Your story may not be on a couch a few hours later and you wake up and Holy Spirit meets you. But can I walk you through this? Does that make sense to you? That is a why, not a what. What? I was addicted to drugs. Why? I had a need. I had this. I didn't even realize the need was Jesus. Let me tell you. I met the need. Does that make sense? That's a story. That's a story. Okay, I like this. I said this. Our story already exists in experience. Our job is to tell it. That's what we want you guys to do. So what I do is I like to create my story around three words: the hook, the line, and the catch. And this is what I want you to work with a little bit the next 2 weeks, and then when we write our story in 2 weeks, this will help you. The hook. Now listen, the hook starts with, and some of this may not be in your notes, you might want to write it down. The hook starts with the problem, the crisis, or the situation. So my hook, I literally want to get my listener, whether it's a reader or a listener in my story, I want to hook them in, okay? So that's my hook. The line, so think of a fishing line, the line tells a story. It makes connections. So now I begin to weave and tell my story. So that's your line. And then your catch leaves them with something to think about and an action item to take. So here would be mine. I wrote mine out. Let me give you an example. Here's my hook. And that's my opener, my attention getter, the question. It could be a question or a quote that literally hooks your reader in or your listener. Here's mine. And I'm going to just tell you what I wrote down. I remember asking God, what did I do wrong for him to turn his back on me? How did my life end up on this path? It's not what I thought my life would look like. God, where are you? Now that's my hook. My line is, and this is much longer, but I'll give you a paragraph. The door had been closed for our ministry, and I didn't know why. I questioned God, others, my husband, and myself. It was a lonely, painful time of rejection, reflection, depression, and doubt. But what I did not see was God was preparing me for the greatest ministry assignment I would ever have. So I'm telling you my story. Now my hook pulled you in. Where, God, where were you? What I didn't know was he was doing this. And then my catch would be, has there ever been a time in your life that you thought God had let you down only to discover that he was actually preparing you for something bigger than you ever imagined? Does that make sense? Now I've just, in a little quick, told you my story. I thought God let me down. All along, God was preparing me to promote me. Has there ever been a time like that in your life? See, now, that can be long. I mean, obviously, that can be, but that's just in a nutshell what you want to do with your story. Hook them in, tell them the story, and then give them an action item. Don't ever finish a story that you don't ever give an action item. What do you think about that? Has there been a time in your life? Have you ever had an experience like that? See, that's why we have to relate in story. Does that make sense? So that's kind of the pattern there. Let's go on. Remember, transparency and pure honesty always connect with people. That's the hardest part, is you have to get vulnerable enough to tell your story. Every life is a potential book waiting to be written. I want you guys just to say that over and over. Whatever volume it is, 5 pages, 2 pages, a blog, a post, that's your story, okay? I want to walk you through tools to tell your story. First of all, create an outline for the steps of your story. So that's your hook, your line, and your catch. That's what that is right there. Next, stay focused. Where are you going? So as we begin to next week, I teach you to write your story in 2 weeks. You literally, people think, and I'm going to give you exactly how to do that when you walk, I'm going to weave you through what my story is. Now, I think I said to you a few weeks ago, think of it this way. When you walk in and you see a library, I obviously can't tell you about every book in the library, but I can pull a volume off and tell you about that book. If you come into our home, Phil has a beautiful library, and I have about 3 shelves on it. Right? And I have self-help books, and I have biblical studies, and I have commentaries, and I have fun books, and I have my children's, grandchildren's books. Now, if you come in, you go, look, there's Tammy's section. But when you pull one off, it could be a commentary, it could be a children's book. Does that make sense? So your story is the same way. Here's your library, your life. I'm going to pull a volume off. Tell me about that part of your story. Does that make sense? So you have multiple stories in your life. What I want to help you focus on is how do I tell this one part of my story? We heard Cheryl's a few weeks ago with her sister, and she shared a little bit of her story, but she has many stories. She has how she started this business story. She has her husband. She has her children, right? Cheryl, you have multiple stories. The one we related to was the one of crisis and pain that you used the hook to bring us in, and we related to, and many women go, wow, that's my story. That's one of many stories. Does that make sense? So I want to help you understand, because many of you have come to me, how do I tell my story? I don't need the whole library, ladies. I want you to begin to pray about what part of your story God wants you to tell. And you'll tell multiple stories. I literally right now can walk you through so many stories in my life. The time that my son was born, his lungs collapsed. They told me he wouldn't live through the night. If he made it, they would let me see him the next morning. That's a crisis in my life that changed everything about me. I can tell you the day that we got the phone call from our son that his wife died after they had been married 1 year and 14 days. I remember getting that phone call. I can tell you about losing a daughter-in-law after 1 year of marriage. I can tell you about my daughter not being able to get pregnant and praying with her for 2 years to get pregnant. Does that make sense? I can tell you about crisis in ministry. I can tell you about crisis in marriage, but it's none of your business. I can tell you about all kinds of things. Are you with me? So know what story you're telling. So once you learn how to tell story, then you'll start to tell it in different ways. You'll write volumes. I'll be able to write a book about Jeremy almost losing my child at birth and what that felt like. That's a story about losing a daughter-in-law, about a struggle with starting a church and how I felt like a failure. After all the years of ministry, God, where were you? What did I do wrong? And asking myself those questions, that's its own story. Does that make sense? But the formula will always be the same in each volume. Does that make sense? So begin to think, God, what part of my story do you want me to tell? And here's what you'll do. Always make sure in writing or speaking that you use passion, energy, and gestures. And I need to work with you because some of you just don't know you need to have energy when you tell a story. If 3 out of the 4 people are yawning, there's a problem. And I want to help you with that, all right? And what I mean, part of it is some of you just say, I'm not naturally a storyteller. I'm going to help you learn how to do that through gestures, through eye contact, through your smile, through your gestures. And part of that is just at what we call presentation skills. When you tell story, presentation is so important because you are reliving the actual event. You are reliving the event, right? Through your gestures and your emotions and your facial expression. That's part of storytelling, okay? So don't be boring. Use emotion and animation. Include a few details, but make it fun, okay, and relatable. So as we begin to walk through this, and again, next week when we start to write it, so think whatever area, whatever story you want, part of your, you want to tell, think what detail, because what you'll do is you'll actually move back into that very moment, and you'll put on the pain. I can tell you, and this was 38 years ago, laying in a hospital bed at 21 years old, when a nurse came in and said, we don't think he'll make it through the night. If he makes it, we'll let you see him tomorrow. I can tell you when the nurse walked in the next day with a Polaroid picture, it was 1978, and handed me a little picture of my little baby who was strapped down to a bed with IVs all over his body, shaved head, lungs had collapsed, and they wanted me to see him a little picture before I physically saw him in the hospital. I can tell you, I can step back. 38 years ago, I still know that emotion. Does that make sense to you? I just in 1 minute explained to you that story and you can feel my pain. Does that make sense, right? So that's what you want to do. You have to step back into the moment and relive either the pain, the joy, the victory. Holy Spirit came to me. It was my first faith encounter in my whole life. And I'll tell you more at another time about that, but Holy Spirit came at that time and met me in a personal way, okay? So step back into the moment and feel the experience. Go back into the timeline and remember how you felt. So write some things down. And again, if your story was, I do feel like I need to share that I was, and whatever it was, maybe it's a pain point, maybe it's a sorrow, maybe you were abandoned, you went through a divorce, you were, whatever it is that you feel the stories God wants you to tell, allow yourself to go back through the emotion and feel it, because you will tell it with reality. Does that make sense? Get permission from those involved. If there's anyone involved in your story, okay, unless, now if you've been victimized by someone and you just don't have any kind of relationship, then the way you tell the story is you don't ever use a person's name, okay? You don't ever, because again, remember our story is not to try to make somebody else look bad. Our story is to try to make him look good. Does that make sense? So when I tell you there was a time in my mother's life that she was sexually abused at the age of 9, I don't need to go into detail with who did it. You can understand that a little girl at the age of 5 to 9 in a big wash tub in the backyard of a St. Louis, Missouri little town was victimized. You can feel what my mother must have felt as a little girl growing up for approval without me having to say who did it. Does that make sense? And it's important. Why? Because we have to still hold high integrity and character. Your story will be so powerful if you walk in integrity and character. I'm not here to point a finger at what I think somebody did wrong to hurt me. I'm here to tell you what God did in the process for me. That's a powerful story, all right? Let me go on. I like this. Attitude is everything. The way you tell your story will say a lot about you. Listen, this is so good, guys. The way you tell your story will say a lot about you. If you are a victim, angry, blaming others, that emotion will come out. It truly will. People are going to be like, ooh, she is not a happy lady. They're not going to be like, poor thing. I mean, I just can't imagine what she went through. But the converse is also true. If you are an overcomer, excited, and see the good in things, that will also come across. Hey, there was a time I was used and abused. There was a time I was addicted to this. There was a time, but let me tell you what, God was there through it with me. Was I lonely? Yeah. Did I wonder if he was there? Did I make stupid mistakes? Did I allow people to take advantage of me? Absolutely. But through it all, the power of God led me. Do you see how that, so I weed you in that I'm relatable, that I've been hurt, that people have hurt me, that I made wrong decisions and bad choices. But if you don't have hope in your story, you don't have a story. Does that, you hear, see, people aren't telling this kind of stuff. I've been searching everything I can on the internet on how to tell a story, and I'm yet to find anybody to teach anybody how to tell a powerful story. All I can find is people telling everybody how to feel like a victim, throwing everybody under the bus, pointing the finger. Well, not, you know, the finger, excuse me, you know what I mean by that. That just kind of came out that way. Pointing the finger, let me say it that way. No pun intended. All right. Are you with me? Nobody's teaching, because I don't want to, I walk away feeling dirty when I make you look bad. I don't walk away empowered. I want to be empowered over my story. I want to feel empowerment over the people that either hurt me or victimized me or the stupid mistakes I've made along the way. I don't want the enemy to keep me under the pain of my story. Does that make sense? When you tell your story with power and you tell your story with victory and you're an overcomer, people want to know about the God that helped you through your process. Let me go on. Be honest. Don't ever stretch the truth to make it more dramatic. Okay, that's called a fish story. All right? And what happens is you'll catch yourself in a lie because you won't remember what you said next time you tell the story. I'm being truthful. And what happens is sometimes we embellish things. We get to telling our story, and next thing you know, that's why they call it a fish story. You know, the fish was this big, but it was the biggest fish you've ever seen. And next thing you know, somebody came and said, I didn't know that happened to you. And you want to say, I didn't know it happened to me either. Now, you with me? And I just have done this enough that I know. You get excited about telling your story, and next thing you know, you're trying to make it bigger than it is. Be honest with your story. Don't tell more than happened, right? Don't try to make it more exciting than it is. It's already exciting. Use discretion. Don't say more than you should. And don't listen and don't assume that everyone that has happened, that everyone is interested in everything that has happened to you, everyone is interested in. You can sit there and tell every dirty detail that's happened to you. And to be honest with you, I don't need all that information. And I'm going to be really honest. I've been in ministry long enough. A lot of women just want to talk. And they want to make everybody else look bad. And sometimes they make people look worse than they really are and what they really did. And I'm just being really honest. Don't go there with your story. Your story is beautiful. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to make it something it's not. Remember why you're telling the story. Always stay with your why. Why are you telling me? Because I want you to feel open. I want you to feel safe. I want you to know what God's done. I want you to know I'm an overcomer. Those are your whys on why you're telling your story. This is good. Use your pain point to relate to your audience and help them make the steps to move out of the situation. So it's okay to use your pain point, but don't leave them there. You don't want to leave them thinking, God, I wish I didn't ask her. How did I get in this mess? Is she ever going to shut up? Let me ask you this. Use your pain point to your audience to take them steps to move out of the situation. Let me ask you, is your story to share your views and values? So someone asked me the other day, hey, I have to ask you, Tammy, I've got this really hard decision to make. Someone has asked me to be a part of something that I have a deep conviction against. What do I do? Now, this is good, and this is good. We need to talk about this. And it was to be a part of something that violated her personal conviction. And she loved the two people, but she didn't love what they were doing. And she texted me, she said, what do I do? Do I support them? What do I do? And here's what I really believe, and God showed. He said to me, and I said, first of all, you always have to ask Holy Spirit what to do. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So get counsel, and then let it sit in your spirit and ask Holy Spirit what you're supposed to do. But I said to her, well, I believe what you do is you say, you know what, I can come and I can attend this event, but I can't participate in it because that would violate my conviction. And the thing that you love about me is my character and my conviction. So in this particular choice that you're making, I cannot agree with the choice, but I can always agree with you because I love you. Does that make sense? And now you haven't violated your conviction, and down the road when they need someone to come to because they need a solid voice, they're going to come to you because you didn't compromise your conviction. Does that make sense? But always still love the person. Don't ever be so self-righteous that you're better than somebody else that's making a bad decision, you think, or a wrong choice. You always love the person. Just like God said to me today, this morning when I woke up, you have to love them both equally, God said to me. I didn't want to love her equally. She's messed up. She hurt him. She's walking down a very selfish road right now. How can I love her equally? Just like I love you equally. Does that make sense? Let's go on. Determined to don't give up. So as you guys are starting to write your story, part of you is going to go, this is getting too deep. This is too, how much should I say? Guys, you have to stay focused on your story. Even if it's just like one page, we're going to do a one page. We'll work on that in 2 weeks. I'm going to finish this up. There are no stories written without discipline, vision, fortitude, and purpose. There are no stories. You will not finish your story if you don't have discipline, vision. All of you are sitting right, yeah. Oh, it just drives me crazy. Sorry. I'll say, how's it coming? I'm going to get to it. If I say that to you by week 3 and you've not done a thing, I'm going to look at you and say, no, you won't. You'll never get to it. Because you really don't want to discipline yourself to tell your story. That's just the truth. So you're here because you want to tell part of your story. You have to be disciplined to do it. Let me give these last coaching tips. First of all, as we said, you've got to believe you have a story. You have to believe your story counts, which means it makes a difference. Somebody needs to hear it. Somebody's on this earth that needs to hear your story told right, properly, with the right tools. And last, your tools will tell your story. Use the right tools to tell your story. So some things need to be shut, closed, locked, nailed down, and some things the screwdriver needs to open up and you need to deal with.